A lot of people want to make films, but it's not so easy. And yet, each year, students between the ages of 12 to 22 have their screenplays transformed into movies, directed by some of Hollywood's finest filmmakers, thanks to a national nonprofit organization called Scenarios USA. Tiana Clark is one of this year's winners, and her screenplay, Misunderstood, was directed by Clark Johnson, the veteran actor-director who has starred in Homicide, Life on the Street, and The Wire. He's also directed episodes for both of those series and others like NYPD Blue and The West Wing. Tiana and Clark join me now. Welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Hello.
Tiana, how did you hear about Scenarios USA?
I heard about Scenarios through my Spark teacher, Ms. Keone Siddiqui. We usually take those Scenarios films and teach other high school kids in our school about it, and then she told me that there was going to be a contest, and then I like to write and do film, so that's how we got into it.
So this was not something where you just said, oh, gee, I'll try my hand. You've been thinking about films for a while.
Yes, I have.
Each year, I understand there's a particular topic suggested for the contest. What was this one?
This one was about masculinity. Usually it was like AIDS and sex awareness and stuff like this, but this year it was mainly masculinity because they said that in all the other films, they realized that that was one of the central themes that needed to be discussed. So this year they decided to do it, and it was a success.
And a woman's idea of masculinity might be a little different than a man's idea, a male's idea?
In a sense, like, usually what women see, I guess it comes across the same way as men, but we just don't really speak about it as much.
How old were you when you got involved in the project?
I was 17.
And I saw that there were seven other writers listed for Misunderstood. How did you all work together?
that's
even more than we usually see in a Hollywood film.
Yeah. The reason why it was easy because we've been in our Spark class forever since, like, ninth grade. And so it just came across natural. And there was some here and there our disagreements, but other than that, it just seemed natural.
But it was your basic idea, and then everybody else threw in their own ideas, or is this a mix of everybody's ideas?
It was like first we had to do research about it, and then we all had an essential outline of the piece, and I had an outline that everybody liked, and then from then on, people put in their input like that. So,
Clark, is this your first year with the Scenarios Project?
Right. Yeah.
How did you get involved? Had you seen any of the past films?
Yeah, Tom Fontana is a friend of mine and a mentor of mine, and he dragged me into the mix, and I went to the event, the Scenarios event the year before, and they contacted me to get involved, and I said, yeah. And
well, if Tom Fontana says you got to get involved,
you better
listen to him.
Exactly. And then it was a great experience. We sat in a room with 20 educators and the three directors from the three regions, Texas, Cleveland, and here in New York, and picked the best script from each region. And there was no name on the script, so I didn't know who wrote the piece that we had chosen for the New York region, and I found it was these nine kids from Graphic Arts. It was pretty... So we co-directed. It was pretty interesting exercise in socialized directing.
Now, how involved did you get? Did you just simply direct the film, or did you give them some suggestions for the script and how it might be shot?
The process was fun because it started off, we started in our classroom in the Sparks program, which Tiana mentioned, which mm-hmm. is a great thing in schools. It's really an important part of enrichment, and hats off to Graphics for having that.
Well, this is unique to this school, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
Yeah, well, it's been there for since... I think the school opened, I'm not sure, but a lot of people wasn't, because where it's at is like in a corner, it's not really out there, so people had to volunteer, and if they liked it, then...
Where is the school?
My school is in Manhattan on 49th and 9th, uh-huh. My old school. Yeah.
And so they had the script that we picked, and then we worked on the script as a group, and my job was to try to help them with the film language and get it into a cinematic state. I brought them on the set of a show I was shooting, and their eyes got all wide when they saw the people running around and realized what they were in store for. You know,
yeah, because he was like, okay, we're going to go to the show. I'm like, really? It was all exciting. We seen people, they were like, all this jargon, you know, film jargon. It was like, oh my God, this is so real and we love it. I was excited. So.
And it was funny because their script was impossible to do in 3 days. So I wanted them to come to set and see how long it takes to shoot a wheelchair going down a hallway.
Like an hour.
Well, and you didn't have all the equipment available to you. You didn't have the kind of thing that you would get for making a TV show or a Hollywood movie. Mm-hmm. But you you shot it in 60 millimeter, not in digital?
No, we shot it in that. And
why? Because you wanted the effect of film?
Well,
We wanted to give a funky New York look. The three films were pretty interesting, and they were really very regional in their approach. And New York is a funky kind of place. And Frankie DeMarco was our DP, and I have film stock in my fridge from when I was in film school, and we used that to great effect. And these guys took the camera. I have an old spring-wound Bolex.
And then it made it look so vintage to me because it really gave a New York side, a feel to it when you watch the movie, and it's like, oh, this is really what they go through. It just...
You say a New York feel because it has a kind of gritty look to it?
No, like it was like a more of a sense, like when people mention New York, it's like, nice, tough, and environment that's everybody wants to come to. That's how the film looked to me. I liked it.
Well, there are all sorts of interesting things in the film. There are stop frames where we get to see who people really are, their secret backgrounds, and revealing inserts. We get to see a bunch of girls' snotty thoughts at one point.
Including Tiana's, particularly snotty thoughts.
Well, did you come up with those visual solutions knowing that you had 16 millimeter available to you? Could you have done the same thing in digital?
No, we couldn't have done the same thing in digital because it's not organic. But these guys, in their script, it was all in the script, and it was our job to come together and find a way to do that, and we experimented with a few different things, and they kept writing.
Yeah, like, because we wanted to get the feel of what people really say, you know, what they really think, and I thought that was a good way to do it, you know.
Yeah, and how to visualize that. Yeah. So the stop frame helped, and then we did a little treatment to the back, you know, the backstory.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the stop frame almost allows you to do something you could do in a comic book or a graphic novel, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But not something that we've seen all that often in movies. So you were not thinking about how other movies had done things. You were trying to come up with your own solution?
Yes.
Well, that's pretty impressive. My guests are Tiana Clark, who is the writer, or one of the writers, but the chief writer of Misunderstood, one of the films that won the Scenarios USA contest. And Clark Johnson is here, a veteran actor-director who... directed Misunderstood, and
co-directed with the pack.
the story just lasts 16 minutes. Could the film have been longer, do you think? Or was 16 minutes, because I think all the films run
about
under 20 minutes.
Yeah, because the way she won it, I mean, Scenarios, they made it as short films, but if we were to do it as a feature, it would be nice.
Well, the ending is a cliffhanger. Was that there from the start?
Yes. We wanted to like that, because you can't really tell a person who to choose, you know. So
and it's a teaching tool, so when it goes into the schools, it poses the question, all these three films, that's the beauty of the scenario, is that it poses an interesting question within the framework, and they do that to great effect.
Had you taught filmmakers before, Carl?
I do seminars. In my first film, Boycott, is a civil rights era movie, and I take that to the schools a lot, so I do a fair amount of school mentoring. I'm lucky enough to be able to do that. So, but this is my first time this hands-on from beginning to end.
Scenarios has been around for almost 10 years now, 1999.
Yeah.
And why California, Texas, and New York? I would have thought Chicago.
Cleveland.
Yeah.
I think it alternates. I know it's always New York, but I think the other regions alternate. You know, they pick a center.
Yeah.
And they get different directors. I think Doug Lyman was the first director.
Yeah, I think he's the first prominent one, yeah. But they've got a lot of directors involved in the program.
Do people keep on coming back? Do you think you'll do another Scenarios now that you've done this one?
Hell no. but I'm happy that, you know, to assist in other ways. I mean, a lot of the alumni directors stick around and sort of, you know, help out and be on the board and stuff. And these guys will be the next wave.
I'll come back to Scenarios.
She'll be there doing a Scenarios movie with the kids.
Were you impressed? How professional was this?
Very impressed. The fact that these kids could experience what is my passion, and I think that's the main thing I brought was my passion for film, and they got enthused by all that, and Yeah, I was very proud of them, and they did a great job. Yeah.
They said that casting is a major part of the success of a movie or a theatrical production. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. How did the casting work here? Were all the actors non-professionals?
No.
You used professionals.
We used some professionals. We used some non-professionals. So it was a bunch. It was a mix. Some new, some old, and like Reg.
Well, Reg Cathy from The Wire, and I did a cameo in it. Yeah. But tell them how you guys all got involved.
Well, because we wanted to be in it from the beginning. So, but we did want to see other parts of the film worlds. But we wrote ourselves in, and we were like,
"Why
hey,
not?" As long as you're like, writing it, put yourself in, make yourself the star.
Of course, but we decided to go with the non-professional writers for like the main events, but.
No, the professional actors for the main.
Yeah, that right. one. Yeah.
Yeah, it was interesting because they auditioned for the roles that they the characters that were themselves. They auditioned for themselves essentially.
Yeah. I was supposed to play Ayana.
And they had some professional actors who came in. It was really interesting to watch them pick and make this decision to not sacrifice their vision of the film and bring in the actor that they thought was right for the part, even if it wasn't themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It was really a lot of fun for me to watch them cast other people to play themselves.
Yeah.
What about rehearsal? Did you get a fair amount of time for rehearsing?
No, it was not really.
We just jumped in.
And that's what made it fun.
Did you face any problems that you hadn't expected?
What do you mean?
Well, you know, as you're shooting, you think, oh, this is going to be a snap, and then all sorts of problems arise.
Oh, no. Like, regularly, if I'm asking, like, the actor to do it a certain way, in that sense, but not really any problems.
Except certain people showing up late.
No.
Well, Tiana, didn't you move to Georgia at some point?
No, I moved from Georgia to New York.
Uh-huh.
And that was in 2002. And then I lived here recently in Queens, but that's about it.
Kids come from all boroughs for graphic arts, and so it was a struggle to get people to work. You know, people had other commitments that they had to take care of. People had to take care of their siblings. One guy had to take care of his grandmother. Some people had to work at McDonald's. All the things that get in the way of art.
Yeah.
Like life, you know. So.
Did you get involved with acting as young as these kids?
Yeah, actually I did. I got started when I was 9. Mm-hmm. But I've been in and out of this business most of my life. So.
What were you doing when you were 9?
Oh, my mom brought me to New York for a Broadway audition, and I didn't get the Broadway show, but we got the national tour. So I did like 4 big national tours when I was a kid. But that was fun, and then when I was 15, I retired, found girls in football.
But Porky and Bess was what you started,
yeah,
wasn't
it? Yeah, Porky and Bess, opposite. How do you know? What are you looking at right there? Yeah, I did Porky and Bess and Finian's Rainbow, South Pacific, Me Nobody Knows.
Wow, well, that's kind of starting.
Fun element of the childhood. But I got a woman handed me a camera in my neighborhood in Philadelphia when I was 11. As a kid, you know, you either have the geography film in When the Peasants of Bulgaria Gather Wheat for the Winter, that kind of film, 16 millimeter, or you have a Hollywood movie. And there was no video cameras for me. So these women handed me a Super 8 millimeter camera and some cassettes, and we made a little movie, and I got hooked. So I've been making films since I'm 11.
But you were lucky. The kids who do Scenarios USA really are doing it in a way that's more structured.
Yeah, and I really do expect, you know, after that experience last night at the premiere with each of the kids, all the kids that were involved in the writing process, I really do expect to be hearing from them. I know that we're going to find Obamas in that pack.
Oh.
And Oprah's and all sorts of other things, because there is a really dynamic group of kids, and I guess that's what it takes. You know, they're rising to the crop.
Most newcomers seem to break into the movies or television today from advertising or music videos, but that's not what happened here. You actually broke in the way you probably would want to wind up.
Yes, exactly.
So are there plans for you to start doing more stuff, or? Or as Clark suggests, are you thinking instead of going to politics and become the next Barack Obama?
No, I decided I'm going. Like, I've been always wanting to be in the entertainment business through production, directing, acting, everything. And right now, I'm going to write a book about Spark. So.
Wow. You're writing a book about him?
No, about Spark. My whole school.
But it seems that the dramatic form may be an endangered species these days, both in broadcast and cable television. Executives are making reality shows because they're cheaper to do. Yeah. Does that concern you, that you might learn this craft and then have nowhere to go?
No, I don't. I think because I have that much faith, I think what I have to bring to the table is going to be what people want to see.
Since the first caveman painted a pterodactyl on a cave wall, there's been art, and there always will be art, and people are always going to want to have stories told. So, this is a little bump in the hurdle, the fact that Jay Leno is going on at 10 o'clock, killing all the 10 o'clock dramas. These little bumps in the road, strikes and digital transformations, all that comes down to the basic idea that we want to hear and watch and be involved and be moved by stories. So,
I think that part is the best, because if you see it when it's at its downfall, then you know how to bring it up. So by me just entering it now, I think that now I could do it, what people want to hear and what people want to see. So,
fresh voices.
Right.
Was Homicide a good training for you, Clark?
Oh, yeah. I was blessed. I was so lucky.
Because you were doing both sides. Had you always wanted to direct?
Yeah, pretty much. In film school, everybody does, you know. But I did, and that I got a chance to segue into that through that show. And then that just took off, so I like doing both, but I did effects for 10 years, too. I like to blow stuff up, too, so I'm just a movie guy is all.
Well, you weren't doing a lot of blowing up on Homicide, weren't you,
Liar? No, by then I'd mostly
stopped.
That's
all about people talking to people. And
right.
It was about in the ironies. End, that's what real drama is about.
The ironies of life, yeah, exactly.
And I suspect that's the sort of thing you want to do as well, Tiona.
Yes, exactly.
Or do you want to blow things up?
The whole nine.
Well, I thank you both so much for talking with us. Where do you go from here now that this thing is done? Have people talked to you about getting an internship in the film business?
Well, right now I'm just doing my networking, so hopefully.
Sweating me is what she's doing.
Of course. So hopefully I get internships and stuff like that. But
well, she'll be fine. You know, if you really want to do it, you'll find a way, and that's what she's doing.
Well, the amazing thing in looking at these films is that they don't look like they were done by kids.
Mm. Really?
Yeah,
no, I just get a big head.
Thank you so much, Tiona Clark, one of the writers, key figures in the creation of Misunderstood, one of the films that won the Scenarios USA contest, and Clark Johnson, director, co-director of Misunderstood, and director of TV and whatever
stuff.
Else, and star of TV and whatever else, and all around decent person.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.